Have they lost the pipe? Have they lost that cutting edge and they're doing it in the flesh? And because they're doing it in the flesh and things are not going the way that they feel they should go, and they're not in tune with God's program, they're not doing it God's way, they're doing it their way, and because they're doing it their way and things are not working out their way, they've lost the power, and now you get upset. Because what do? When you're trying to chop a tree down and it's not being chopped, and you're not having effect, you swing harder sometimes.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Return to Power. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Return to Power.
And she had raised all of her children, and they had been very successful. And as she had raised them, they all, made a lot of money. And so the first son, he wanted to do something for his mom. He said, I'm going to buy her a house. So he bought his mom a house. The second one said, I want to do something for mom. He said, I'm going to put a theater in the house. So he put a theater in the house. The third one wanted to do something, so he bought her a Mercedes. And the fourth one said, look, I'm going to do something very special. I know mom loves the word of God, and I know she's going blind, having a hard time reading. And he heard about this parrot that 20 preachers over 12 years had trained and taught this parrot the word of God. So all you had to do was just quote or say the chapter and the book and the verse, and the parrot would quote it. And he bought it from this preacher, and the preacher said, look, I'll sell it to you on one condition, and that is that you pay me $100,000 over the next 6 years, because this parrot is very valuable. And the guy, he wanted to do it for his mom, so he had no problem. He had no problem doing that. So the mom got all the gifts and used them, and she wrote all of her son's thank you notes. The first one she wrote, she said, I want to thank you for this big house. And even though I only live in one room, I got to clean the rest of them. She wrote the second one, the thank you note. I just want to thank you for this theater, even though all my friends are dead and can't come to watch any movies. She said to the third one, she said, I want to thank you for this car, even though I can't see, I can't drive it, I just want to thank you for it. And she wrote a thank you note to the fourth one. She said, I just want to thank you for this gift, because out of all my sons, this was the most practical one of all. And that fried chicken sure was good. I'm energized. Yeah. We got some energy up in here. God's people, man, you got to be energetic. God has given you power. God has given you energy. We walk around and present the word of God like it's a burden. And you got to be excited and have some energy about this thing. He has given us dunamis. He has given us energy. And the third word, he says, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of the word mighty, which is the Greek word kratos, which means an overcoming power, which is translated dominion. God has given you authority. He has given you authority to take a stand over the things of darkness. He has given you authority to take over Satan and all of his kingdom. Now, once again, I want to point it out that we are not more powerful than Satan. We can't overcome Satan in and of ourselves. But if we reside in the power of God, we have dominion over Satan. Because remember now, the devil cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. And the other thing that I want to say, and I know this theology might not square with all of us, but it's a fact, and that is that you cannot be possessed by evil spirit. If you got the Holy Spirit, you can't have two spirits living inside of you. So we already know that the Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of Satan, because the Holy Spirit is God. So now, what do I have to fear? The psalmist said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who you got God in you. You got God on you. You got a God under you, behind you, in front of you, around you, above you. You can't go wrong. You got nothing but power. Say, so, you know, we got to start living this resurrected life. You know, we got to start tapping into the resources that God has made available for us to live this Christian life. Instead of walking around discouraged and defeated, you know, we have a mighty power, dunamis. We have energizing power, energeo. We've got dominion power, kratos. And then we see that we have ichthus, which is God's enabling strength endowed upon believers. You know, the word mighty power. So what is my point as we look at that right there? He says that this power is where? Toward us. The power is toward us. Now, if that don't make you shout something, you know, your shouter is broke. You know, the power is toward us. And what is the power that's toward us? Dunamis, energeo, kratos, and ichthus. That's the power that we have. And God says that it's the same power that was at work when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Realize that you have the power. Now, secondly, and I'm going to have to stop right here because I'll finish this next week. See, that's the beautiful thing about a pastor, you know, opposed to, you know, when Brother Jeff preached last week. See, he had to get it all in, you know. You know? Pastor can preach part one and part two. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we can come next week. You know, I talk to pastors all the time, and, you know, associates, you know, when they preach, you know, they got to get it all in. You know, they got to, you know, they got a message, and they got to preach it, and they preach it. So the pastor, all he got to do is say, well, look, we'll come back next week. We'll have part two next week. But you got to recognize when you lost the power. You've got to recognize when you lost the power. Look back in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And one in verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered and said, I will go. And so he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. See, he could have kept swinging away. He could have kept swinging away. But he would not make any progress because his power was gone. And there are many Christians who continue to swing the axe or swing the handle long after the power has departed. Swinging the axe, trying to chop down trees, and God is nowhere around. Oh, saints, let me tell you, I've been there. I've been sometimes so busy that God would stop me and have devotions, and I say, I don't have time for that. I'm serving you, God. You know, I got to go teach this lesson. Yesterday, I did a all-day seminar at the seminary. Oh, man, it was draining, tired, very easy to just get up and pass on and say, I don't have time to spend time with God. And in those times when you do that is when you rob yourself of the power that you need to do the job that you need to be doing. You see, you've got to realize that you lost the power. You got to get this cutting edge back. You know, the axe becomes dull. And you get out there and you start swinging and you start chopping and you're wondering why you're working harder and you're wondering why you're working harder. And the reason that you're working harder is because you haven't taken time to sharpen the saw, to sharpen the axe. And the power is gone. And so many Christians, that's why, you know, when I see Christians starting to get into it, you know, I have to ask the question to myself in the recesses of my heart. Have they lost the power? Have they lost the power? Have they lost that cutting edge and they're doing it in the flesh And because they're doing it in the flesh and things are not going the way that they feel they should go and they're not in tune with God's program, they're not doing it God's way, they're doing it their way, and because they're doing it their way and things are not working out their way, they've lost the power, and now you get upset because what do you do when you're trying to chop a tree down and it's not being chopped and it's not, there's no, you're not having effect? You swing harder sometimes. And you have a tendency when you're swinging harder to hit other people. To miss the tree and to hit other people. Or the other thing, oh God help us. Or the other thing is you just get tired and say it's not worth it. And you sit down. Well, I've been chopping, I've been swinging, and it's just not worth it. So you got to realize when you lose the power, you got to realize I don't have it. I don't have it right now. You know, there are sometimes, and yesterday was one of those days that I came home and my grandkids were all there. And, I was tired. And I'll just be honest with you, saints. I'm going to be honest. Let me make a confession. Pastor Glaze can put on a good front. I can put on a good front when I'm tired, all right? But yesterday was not one of them days. And I knew that I didn't have the inner ghetto. I knew that, I was going to be short. I knew that I wasn't going to be paying attention. And I knew at that point, and I hung with him for a second, just for a second, but I knew at that point that it was time for me to go and just lay down a little bit and rest. And you know why? Because I realized that teaching all day yesterday had drained me, and I had lost something. And I realized that this is not the time, let me be honest with you, this is not the time for me to be around folk. I realized that. This is not the time for me to be around folk. Now, if I have to, I can put it on for a little while and make it through, but I really need to get somewhere. Just think about a baby. Why does a baby whine and cry? Because he's tired sometimes. Now, adults don't get down on the floor and roll around and whine and cry. We don't do that, but we got other ways of doing it. We got other ways of whining and crying. We get short with folk. We say things that we shouldn't say. That's our way of whining. And so sometimes, you in your spirit, you got to realize that I don't have it right now. I just need to go somewhere for a minute and get myself together. And sometimes we need to realize in the Christian life that we've lost the power. And we got to go somewhere and have it restored. Look at this as we finish. Areas where we have lost the power. Areas where we have lost the power. Lot lost the power of his testimony. It says that when God got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went down and began to talk to his relatives, daughters, and their husbands or fiancés, whatever they were, that when he tried to talk to them, that they didn't want to hear what he had to say because he had watered down his testimony. He had lived in such a way. Now, once again, you could tell that his testimony wasn't right because when they left Sodom, first of all, his wife wasn't even with him. She turned and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt and became a mine for Morton, okay? Some of y'all get that. Right. See, I told you, I got energy. Energized. Yeah, baby. When he got up into the hills, his daughters got him drunk and had sex with him, and they got pregnant. So we could see the end of his test. He lost his testimony. And so when he came down to speak to his relatives before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, they said he spoke as one that was a fool. He lost his he lost the power of his testimony. And the reason that, some husbands are not more diligent in coming to Christ or serving Christ might be because the wife lost her testimony. Now, it's good to know that I'm going to tell you, you can get it back, because what are we talking about? What we're talking about here is a return to power. That's the point, a return to power. But some have lost their testimony with their husband. Some fathers, Lord, help us. Some fathers, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. Some fathers have lost their testimony with their children because they have seen them do things that are wrong. The dad doing things that are wrong. Dad driving without a license. What can you tell your son? What can you tell your child about having a license? Dad driving without insurance. What you gonna tell your child? You can't, dad, what can you tell me? You doing it? What? Oh, Lord have mercy. Grown folk having sex outside of marriage. Got kids. Know what you're doing up in that bedroom, up in there. And then you'll cut your, well, you know, you ought to go to Sunday school. You ought to go to church. No, you ought to stop doing what you're doing. You see, we lost the power of the testimony. Man, there's not a whole lot of things that we got. But one thing that you have, that you need to value, that you need to cherish, you got a testimony. And you need to keep your testimony intact. Proverbs said that the memory of the just is blessed. That you want people to have just memories about you. And it's blessed. The power of a testimony. Man, no power in your testimony. You couldn't sit down and witness to a mosquito. The power has been depleted from your testimony. But thank God that we're going to tell you next week about a return to power. A return to power. But this week we got to say, because some people have lost the power and they don't know that they've lost it. Loss of your talent. You know the story? Five, one had five, one had two, and one had one. The one that had five doubled it. The one that had two doubled it. The one that had one hid it in the earth. The master came back. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You had five. Here goes five more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You had two. Here goes two more. You wicked and slothful servant. You should have taken what I gave you and invested. Therefore, take from him that has one and give it to the one that has five. God has given you a talent. God has given you an ability. God has given you something that he has called you to do. He has given you, he has gifted you, he has equipped you, he has empowered you to do it. And you are not investing what God has given you. I'm going to tell you what, God is going to take it away from you. God will take it away from you and give it to somebody else. You know, it's just like riding a bike. You know, you ride the bike, but if you haven't done it in years, you lose the edge. Oh, you might still be able to get back on the bike, but it's going to take a second before you can become proficient in riding it again if you haven't ridden in a while. You lose it. And it's just something even in the law of nature that you lose what you don't use. And if you don't use what God has given you, you lose it. You lose the power. So what do I got to do if I haven't ridden that bike in a while? It can come back. I can ride it again. But I got to go through some things to get back there. Loss of talent. And then, thirdly, a loss of toughness. A loss of toughness. You used to be able to hang in there. And I don't realize, you know, one thing I realized, you know, the older that we get, some of the edge goes off of our toughness. Now, we don't lose our toughness, but the edge goes off. All right, you know, I'll tell y'all, there was one day that I could bend steel with my bare hands. I was more powerful than a locomotive. I was faster than a speeding bullet. I was able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Now I can only, I'm faster than an arrow. No. We lose the edge. We lose some of the edge. But you know, even all the way down to the end, don't lose your toughness for God. What did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, though everybody forsake you, he said, I'm going to stand with you to the end. I'm going to stand up with you because I'm tough and I'm rough and I'm buffed. And I'm going to stand with you. And then we see that when Christ was betrayed and stood on trial, that Peter denied him three times. What happened to that tough guy? What happened to all that toughness? You know, and we lose our toughness. We lose our toughness and our ability to stand against sin. to be able to say no and stand tough against what's wrong and stand for what's right, to be tough and not back up. We lose our toughness against Satan. Well, you know, I'm just getting beat up by Satan today. He's beating me up and beating me down. No, man, you got to hang tough. You got to be tougher than that. And sometimes we lose our toughness against self. You know, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. You know, I told you before sometimes you need to look in the mirror and say, I see the enemy, and we is they. You know, and we is they. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. But we need to be able to stand tough, and we need to hang tough in there. A loss of power. You need to realize if you've lost the power, if you don't have it like you used to. And once again, I know that as we get older, we lose something. I understand that. But there still should be that dedication, that zeal that burns within our heart, within our soul, to have this power on our lives. Do you have the power of God on your life? Oh, I'm not talking about to get out here and to, you know, raise folk from the dead and to feed folk with a fish and loaves. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, do you have the power? We sang the song earlier during communion, Victory in Jesus. Do you just have the power to be victorious in your Christian life every day? There may be times you get discouraged, defeated, but don't stay down long, because you're able to bounce back. Because why? You are walking in victory. Where you at, saints? See, if you don't have that, then you need to realize, I've lost it. It's not there. And the beautiful thing about God, he already knows it. And so you just hamalageo, you just confessing, you just saying what God already knows. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we got to confess to get the help that we need. If I'm sitting at home hungry and starving and about to die, and I don't tell anybody that I need food, then I'm going to die. Sometimes you got to tell God, God, you know that I'm weak. You know, Lord, that I've lost my power. And Lord, I need for you to touch me. I need for you to restore the power. There's some folk, man, you would go downtown to the Kaufman store and witness to a mannequin in the window. But lost your power. Lost your power. You had the victory in your marriage. You know, there were times that a little thing that you could just say, you know what? Our marriage is bigger than this. You know, this little thing right here, you know, that God has my marriage destined for greatness. And he does. He does. God has my marriage destined for greatness. And you know, this is really a small thing to get in the way. Couples argue about the craziest thing. The craziest things. And, you know, I believe that a lot of times you get into those. Now, I'm not saying that there's not stuff that need to be addressed. Don't get me wrong now. Don't get me wrong. Because there's stuff that needs to be. I'm just saying that I've seen so many little crazy things that couples get into it about. And one of the reasons, where's the power? You got the power. You know, sometimes. My wife, she's not here, right? No. You know, sometimes you got to realize, I'm talking to men and women, that you got the power and you got the victory, that you got the victory just in the fact that you kept your mouth shut and walked away from it. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? And you don't know it. You don't know it. But I just got the victory, yeah. You don't know it. See, sometimes there's just power in that. But you know, when you don't have the cutting edge, when you don't have the power of God in your life, then that stuff just runs you over. It just overtakes you. Recognize when you've lost the power. Remember that the power was borrowed. Return to the place where you lost the power, and then reconnect to the power source.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of Return to Power. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Return to Power, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Return to Power. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Return to Power. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.